Right on. What a privilege this morning to get to share with you guys. Definitely blessed. And let's go before the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer as we start up this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank you. We praise you. We ask your mercy as we're just getting into your word, Lord, that it'd be your word that would go forth and that, Lord, we'd be available, we'd be open, we'd be just surrendered to you. And Lord, let your word speak to our hearts. We just pray that you'd help us in this time and apply these things that you would give us each day. We thank you for those things and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, the message or kind of the thought I was thinking about over the last few weeks is faithfulness in obscurity. That's kind of a heavy word, especially for this morning, Saturday morning. It's obscurity is, I had to look it up. I didn't know all of it. But it's about unknown or inconspicuous or unimportant. If you can kind of see in that picture, there's an owl in there. And he's pretty inconspicuous, not, you know, just kind of blending in. And sometimes our faithfulness has to be that way. It's doing the right thing. You know, when nobody's watching, when nobody's looking, and sometimes that's how we have to be, we have to act. It's kind of like character and integrity. You hear those words, and sometimes that definition's very similar. It's what we do when nobody's watching, when nobody's looking, and it's doing that right thing in those times. And you know, and we know there's others that are watching us. Other people look at us. Other people look at our lives. They don't see everything. They don't see us at our house. They don't see us in our homes. They don't see us when we're by ourselves. But we know God does. God sees not only our life, but He sees our heart. He sees what's in it and what's in us. And I found this one quote from Spurgeon. And it says, "It looks as if things have gotten out of hand. And somehow or another, we have been forgotten. When there's no one to say it to you, say it to yourself. God is faithful, who will not suffer the pain to exceed the measurement of my endurance." And that in itself was kind of pretty heavy, you know, especially first thing this morning. But it's kind of like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, because when nobody else is there, when nobody else is around, you have to say it to yourself that God is faithful, that God's the one that can do those things that we can't do. He sees those things. He sees the problems. He sees the things that we're going through and the tough times, and He's there, and He's in the midst, and even through those difficult times, you know, He's there to help us. And there's an awesome verse in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and lasts forever." So he mentions about our, you know, these troubles, these things, these difficulties, and that they're small in comparison to what God has for us on the other side, on in eternity, that He's got so much more for us. And we know He's at work in each one of our lives every day. He's working in us. He's drawing us closer to Himself and trying to make us more into His image, into the image of God. And God wants us to have His eyes and His heart as we go through these troubles, these times of difficulty. He wants us to see as He sees as we're going through those. And sometimes that's difficult. A lot of times that's difficult to have His eyes and His heart. There's a verse in Hebrews 11:1 put up there. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And underline "not seen," because, you know, a lot of times that is our faith. We don't know the end. God knows the end. God is looking, sees what's going on. And the rest of Hebrews 11 talks about all these men of faith, these men that have gone before us. And it says in there that they died in faith, not having received the promise. You know, they kept continuing to do what God put on their hearts to do. We have great examples in that chapter about Abraham and God promised, you know, these innumerable offsprings that He was going to have. He had one son. And then we know from there God's blessed, but he didn't see it in, he didn't see the end. And it talks about Joseph too, dying in Egypt. But God had promised him they would go back into Israel, into that area. And Moses, and didn't make it into the promised land. But he had that heart, but he knew that they would be going in. But he had that eternal promise though. When they did die, they're now dead, and they're in heaven. And they have that promise, the eternal promise. And just a few weeks ago, we had Erwin Lutzer out here. Just tremendous. It spoke to my heart, I mean, overwhelmingly. And he taught about the rewards in heaven. And when we stand before God, when we die, when we stand before God, there will be this accounting. And what did we do with what God gave us to do? And that's a tough question. That's a tough one to answer. But we've got time. We're here. We're still here on this side. So I love the verse. You know, I hope this is what we hear. His master said to him, and this is the verse on your tables. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of my master, of your master. And it's that part there, faithful in a little, that I want to kind of key in on. And that's where, you know, that's that faithfulness and obscurity. And that's what's precious to God. It's doing those things when nobody's looking, when nobody's around, when nobody sees. And still doing it, still doing what's right. And we know God sees that, and God's working in us. And sometimes I see that word faith or faithful, and I think sometimes that's like, you think that's got to be perfect. And that's not what God's looking for. That faith is something he says is, you know, we just need a small amount. And he enlarges it. The verse that we're familiar with is a faith like a mustard seed. There's a picture of one there. That's a pretty small amount. And you only need that much is what he's saying. You just need a little bit. You just need to put that into action. You need to make that start. Put yourself in that right direction. Kind of like repentance. That word means to turn. So we turn to God. And God works in us and he starts working through us. And there's a lot of places we need to be faithful in. We know faithful at our work. Doing that right thing, even when nobody's looking, when the boss's head's turned, or when the boss is out of the office, we still gotta do right. Or if you're in the military, you're following commands of someone, you know, you keep doing that, you know, to someone that's above you. And we know in our families, there's even that much more to love and support and protect our wife and kids. And those are things that we need to be faithful in, and that we need to do right, and especially when nobody's looking. And there's a lot of examples we know through the Bible. John the Baptist was one that came to my mind, came to my heart when I was putting this together. And he is one of those guys that's faithful in obscurity. He was way behind the scenes through all of this, everything that was going on. Hanging out in the wilderness for a long time. And he's that faithfulness and obscurity that we kind of need to emulate. And one of the things that John said, and this was after some of his followers, some of his disciples decided to kind of start following Christ. He says, I must decrease and he must increase. You know, and that's part of what God wants to do in us is that decrease part. And that's not something we like or we're used to all the time. But he'll tell people, you know, look at this guy, look at Jesus. And he's that real deal. I'm just the opening act. I'm just the one here kind of standing before. And there's a book out there, in the bookstore by Gene Edwards called Prisoner in a Third Cell. And he goes into the life of John, kind of taken off from where he was in prison. You know, there's not much written about, so it's not true story, but It's kind of what he was thinking. Maybe, you know, John might have been thinking while he's in prison. And the one thing that came up quite a bit is that, you know, he started questioning God. We know that part of it at least. He goes and he asks his disciples to go and talk to Jesus and ask him, are you the Christ? And so there was some doubt there. There were some things he was kind of doubting. God wasn't doing, I think, what he was expecting or what he thought God should do. You know, isn't that us sometimes? We don't see that God's doing what I think he should be doing. And sometimes that's us. And the one thing that Jesus told his followers was, the blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he says, and blessed are you if you're not offended with me. And John was probably saying, yeah, you know, when they came back and they told him this, you know, he's probably saying, you know, yeah, I see those things, or I saw those, I heard about those things that you did. But what about that last part? Are you offended in me? I didn't quite understand that at first when I read that, but it's are we offended in God when he doesn't do what we expect him to do? When he's, you know, it's like we got some other plan, but you know, God's plan is different when we're going through it, and that's what it is. We don't understand God's ways. It says in his word that his ways are not our ways. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things we've got to look at. And especially when we're going through it, when we're going through it in that time of obscurity where we don't think anybody's watching. And there's times, are you holding down, having to hold down a couple jobs or having to work a lot of overtime and just to make ends meet and to provide for your family? Those are those times of faithfulness in obscurity. You know, nobody's watching. Nobody's looking, but you got to do it. You know it's right. First part about obscurity I kind of want to talk about is it starts with us giving up our own desires. And with John the Baptist, you know, he gave up his whole life to follow God. He hung out in that wilderness for a long time, pointing people to Christ, pointing people to Jesus. And not for himself. It wasn't something he was doing to say, yeah, look at me. You know, he kept saying, he kept pointing to Jesus in all that. And in prison as well, at that hardest time in his life, you know, could he see what God was doing? And that's the hard thing for us when we're going through it. It's hard for us to see that. See what God is trying to do in our life. And it is more trying to get rid of those old desires, our own desires. And I know in my life, I gave my life to Christ about 28 years ago. And I say I gave my life to Christ. God sought me out. He pulled me into a direction. I was at a different church. I was at another church where they had an altar call. And I gave, and they asked, you know, anyone that wants to give their life to Christ to come forward. And I did. And I saw some huge changes. I mean, just things that came some pretty quickly. Some things God started changing my desire for the alcohol and the drugs and things that had a control over my life. He started taking that desire out, some of those outward type of things. But there were some things inward that took longer. Some of the anger and other sins in my life, some of those, you know, the lust and things that were more inward. Those took a bit longer. And I thought, well, you know, I just got to fix the rest of those things. You know, God's just taking too long. There's just, you know, or part of it too was I didn't want to get rid of some of those things. You know, I was still kind of holding on to some of that for a bit. But we have that desire. We want to change. We want to do right. And there was times I'd go back up to an altar call for a rededication. I'd go back up and I did that probably many a times. Thinking that, you know, I got to do this. And that was part of the problem was I. I saw this up here. Change is inevitable. Not always from a vending machine. I think I was trying to get change from the wrong thing, the wrong type of change. But that change is inevitable. God is working on each one of us. God has a plan, and He's working through that in each one of our lives. And sometimes we don't see that. We don't see we definitely don't see what God's doing in those times. Some things happen right away. He starts changing things immediately. Some things may take a bit longer that He's working out in us. And there's a lot of times there's things that I held on to. I wouldn't let go of or tried doing on my own. And we know in God's Word, though, it is a progression. It is things that He starts working out in us. There is amount of time different for each one of us. But He is working in us. Oops, went a little ahead. The second part about obscurity is that it brings us to a place where we cry out to God for help. And I can imagine, you know, and in that book, it talked about John, you know, crying out to God. And I'm sure that is what we naturally do when those things happen. We cry out to God. And we've got to look at that, you know, as, you know, God's wanting to do something more in each one of our lives. And there could be some things that you're doing as well that God's working out. It could be something in your life, on your job or with your family, things at home. And God starts to work on our pride and our flesh during these times of obscurity. He's trying to get a hold of our lives and He wants to change us. He's got something more for us. And I stayed in this church that I was at, you know, for quite some time, for quite a few years. But, I tried staying faithful to God. I tried staying faithful as much as I knew in prayer and reading His Word and going to church. And I got pretty involved with the church in a lot of different ways. Pretty much whenever the door was open, I was there. And during this time, I was in college. So as you imagine, that's probably quite a few years back. So I was going full-time in college and at some point, too, full-time at work and all these things. And at the same time, I was married. I got married during that time. And so pretty busy, pretty involved. And it wasn't long after that my wife actually even left me. She left me. She divorced me. And that was a hard time. That was rough. And it was one of those times where I was just questioning God. Didn't know what was happening. You know, and when I didn't even have to sign that divorce paper. She just went through with it and left. And all I could see was, you know, I got a copy of that divorce paper and it says why. And it says incompatible. And I'm like, man, you know, that was a hard blow for me, especially as a young believer. But, you know, I learned some things afterwards. I can only kind of imagine or see now that it was probably, I wasn't, you know, maybe I got too involved, or not necessarily too involved in God, but too involved in doing things, not doing the right things, not spending that time with my wife that I needed to. I'm not seeing the hurt. You know, it kind of was oblivious to me. And that's sometimes, you know, God has to open our eyes and see that. And this was one of those, you could say, wake-up calls. And, you know, I wasn't quite seeing what I was doing was wrong. And it's like, you know, I see this picture. And that was kind of me at that point, just kind of reaching up and crying out to God for help at that. Because I thought, you know, even at that point, I thought, well, maybe I couldn't serve God anymore. Because, you know, that was a huge blow. You know, maybe I just didn't have it. But God gave me strength through that time. I had quite a few brothers that prayed for me, that encouraged me. And it was one of those, it was a rough time. I don't, you know, say, but some reason I just knew I had to go to church. I knew I just had to be there. No matter what was going on, I just had to be there. And it was one of those tough lessons, huge lessons for me. And sometimes when we're going through it, we don't feel like being around our brothers. We don't feel like being around anyone else. And I did. I know I didn't feel like it, but just did it. Just because I knew. I don't know. God knew. God pulled me there. And sometimes we leave the church even at those times. Sometimes we leave God and that's the worst thing. What God wants is us to be close to Him. And there's a term in the Bible you run across, abide in Christ. means to live in Him and to dwell in Him. And it says when we draw close to God, God draws close to us. When you get that help from your brothers, that's tremendous. When those difficult times, we know God's there, and His Word does say, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? We are more than conquerors. And that's what God wants to do in us. God has a plan. He, even through those highs and lows, He's there. And do we trust Him in that? And this third part about obscurity, it is about trusting God. It leads us to trust in Him. And John the Baptist too, when he was in that prison, you know, I'm sure he was, you know, he was going through a difficult time, and he probably thought Jesus was going to free him. He probably thought, you know, God's going to get me out of this. He remembers what his followers said when Jesus told him, you know, all these things. He may even remember I think I remember hearing about that and reading about that, Isaiah. But the last part of that verse that Jesus was telling him from Isaiah says, you know, setting the captives free. And so it's like, well, what about that part? What about that? Why didn't that happen? But he tells him, and blessed are you if you are not offended in me. God had a different plan. And we all know, or you may have heard about a verse in Romans 8:28, and says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And I really believe that's a life verse for all of us. It's a verse about our life. All things work together for good. God has a plan in it all, through everything that we go through. Every piece of it is part of that plan, even those hurts, even those difficult times. And so what's God asking you to trust Him in? We see this on our money. In God we trust, and it's as simple as that. Are we trusting God? And later, after my divorce, a few years later, I did remarry and found a godly and wonderful wife, and have a couple kids now. And through that, you know, even after that, there was a difficult time. Our church ended up splitting. We were kind of, you know, we were actually the last couple in there before our pastor said, you know, that was it. And we were like trying to figure out, well, what's next? And we knew a lot of people that came here to Calvary, and we saw a lot of lives change. We saw God working. And when we came here, God had me kind of really just kind of sitting for at least a couple years and just listening to some awesome teaching through Skip and just getting close to God, getting closer to my wife and my children. And, you know, it's sometimes that's what we need, you know, is that little bit of downtime. And I definitely needed that. And it wasn't a couple years into that I met, well, I had a good friend that we would meet pretty occasionally, you know, pretty often. We got to meeting once a week even after a while. And we started going through a book called Experiencing God. And it was two big things that I kind of got out of that. Was one, first we got to get close to God, closer to Him, closer to that relationship, get as close as we can. And the second part was something that was kind of new to me, is more of, you know, that God's at work doing all kinds of things, and He just asks us to join Him in those types of things. And so that was something that was new for me, and I just, you know, kind of started just letting God see what God was going to do, what His plans were. I got into teaching here for a long time, and then into chaplaincy, and that was one of those areas. I had to trust God, because some of these types of things, even coming up here, this is outside my comfort zone to be up here. This isn't my thing, but it's a God thing. It's something that God puts on our heart to do and gives us that desire. And He's the one that gives us abilities. And so that was one of those types of things. It's just, you know, trusting God in that all. And the last piece I've got really is on that faithfulness in obscurity. And it's really kind of bringing it back down to, you know, what we do when nobody's looking. But God is, and God does see that, and God does notice. And, you know, there were some things that God was still working on my life in. And, And he was working through some things in my heart. Still, there was some of the anger and the sin and things that I needed to work on. And started going to the classes here when good men get angry. And then eventually the step-by-step classes. And man, those things hit home. They hit home with me on things that areas I needed to work on in my life, especially that anger. But one of the big things that, as I mentioned before, about I had this brother, an accountability brother. We'd go to breakfast every week pretty much. And I asked him to hold me accountable to those types of things, to the anger. And it was a brother I trusted. You know, I knew he's not gonna be, you know, out there on his Facebook page or anything like that. This was years before Facebook even, but it was just, you know, wouldn't send out an email or whatever, but I knew, you know, he'd be asking me those tough questions. How am I doing with my anger? How am I doing with loving and respecting my wife? And asking me those tough questions. And if I didn't give a right answer, you know, or if I was kind of soft on it, he would ask me, you know, are you sure? You know, how are you really doing? You know, things like that. And that's, I believe, an instrumental thing we need as brothers, having someone around that you can confide in and talk with. And one of the other big things that he's helped me with is when I'm out of town. That's one of those struggles I have with, you know, whether it's falling to lust or pornography or watching things I shouldn't on TV. You know, that was some things that I had struggles with in the past, and he would be there to pray for me before I'd go out of town, or he would be there to call me even while I'm out of town, ask me how I'm doing. I'd want him to do that. And then especially I knew this was usually the one that kind of kept me a lot of times, was that I knew when I got back and I went to breakfast with him, he was going to ask me how I did. And, you know, I didn't want to fail him, but more so I didn't want to fail God. And those things were important and instrumental for me in my walk with God, in kind of growing in him. And I finally, you know, have been able to surrender those things and those sins to God. And I still, there's still struggles. There's still struggles with all kinds of things that we deal with. But I know that God's still working in me. He's working through that. And I continually put myself and my trust in His hands. And just be faithful with what I know I can do, what I know to do. And that is, you know, back to the basics, back to being in God's word and prayer, in the church, serving others. You know, and these things are what kind of help us, and just blessed by what God's done and what God's doing. And I just believe, you know, I'm privileged to be able to even come up here, talk with you guys. We're just all kind of, you know, ordinary guys, and I like this. You know, we're all just ordinary men that have an extraordinary God. God's the one that does these things. God's the one that works in us. He's the one that cares for us. And He wants to change us into His image. He's working in each one of us. And He wants us to do, you know, what He's doing. Follow Him in what He's doing. And just being faithful what He's given us to do. Whether that's on your job or with your family or other places He's put you, to be faithful. And last thing, back to this same verse. It's Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master." So really, the last thing is just be faithful in those small things and what God's given you to do. And, you know, whether it's job, home, whatever it is, be faithful to that. And that's all we've got this morning, but we've got a little video we're going to show, and then we'll break into the small groups again.
I didn't like my father.
Karonguni.
Ah, thank you.
He was poor and unsuccessful. Despite working harder than all my friends' fathers, I didn't think he was very smart.
it's not for you.
I've never seen him as an inspiration.
Hey, what?
We are late for school.
Oh, yeah, school. So sorry, I'll hurry.
Oh, here's your pocket money. Here's a bit of extra. Time to pay your taxes. From you? It's from me.
Why are we not rich?
Who says we are not rich? Being rich is not about how much you have, but how much you give. And somehow, when you give, you'll be happier.
I wasn't happy. I didn't want to be poor like my father when I grew up. I knew I wanted to be more successful than my father.
Call me when you need more money.
No, I'm not coming home this year. Yeah, new job here. Maybe after New Year, we'll see. Yeah, I'm really busy now. Okay, bye.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Lim.
I found this letter saying that I've been donating money to the community chest. There must be a mistake.
I'll explain later. There's someone who would like to meet you. Come with me.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Lim. Well, your father has told us a lot about you. Your father, he always makes us forget about our problems and reminds us about our dreams and hopes. But the kids here, they all miss him. And he's the only one who can bring a smile on their faces. And I remember there's this boy. He was really depressed. And he didn't go to school. Basically, he's given up on life. But your father, he reads with this boy regularly. This boy has now grown up to be a really useful person. Your father could have retired comfortably. But he chose to continue working so he can help even more people. He was a selfless man. It's just that he didn't tell anyone about his sickness.
Mr. Lim, I've been trying to reach you. This is for you, in recognition of your donations.
Yes, my name. But I didn't donate. It's your dad. He didn't want you to know.
It's from you. It's from me.
Thank you.
father's birthday, I will celebrate his life as he would have wanted it. I could almost hear him say,
being rich is not about how much you have,
but about how much you can give.
Thank you.